I don't remember if I spoke about this in the past. If I did, you'll finish all of my sentences, and you'll tell me that you heard this year, and it was all review. If not, then it'll be in Yanadim. We spoke about Hashkaf a little bit on Yantiv, so we'll say a little halacha regarding Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur. I was inspired just to think about the sugya again, because before Dr. Frankel made Aliyah, he offered me his, he had a set of Stei Chemed, a full set of the Stei Chemed. So I went over there very excited, and it was literally falling apart in your hands. It was so old that, like, when you touch the pages, it turned to dust. So that was a bit disappointing, and only increased my desire to one day get a Stei Chemed. But for now, we'll talk about a famous piece in the Stei Chemed, and that is the Mareches Yom Kippur, where he discusses the question of a person only has strength to fast for Tzom Gedalia or Yom Kippur, what to do in such a situation. So he begins by citing a tshuva of the Ohel Moshe. That is the Rav Moshe Katzenelenbogen in the Av Basin of Mezrich. In the Ohel Moshe in Siman Tes Zayin. He is relatively unknown, the Ohel Moshe, and the only place he really comes up is in the Stei Chemed. The Stei Chemed quotes the Ohel Moshe now and again. He was a Talmud of Chaim Volozhin. He has Haskamos from the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yitzchak Chanan Spector. He wrote a Perusha on the Ramban. And honestly, this sugya of Tzom Gedalia versus Yom Kippur probably would remain to be unknown and nobody would talk about it if it was not for the Stei Chemed being Mechai Mesim on the Ohel Moshe and discussing it. So let's go through the Stei Chemed. He says, and he cites the Ohel Moshe, and the Ohel Moshe wants to say that this is really an extension of a famous machlokes brought in the Be'er Heitev in Siman Tzadi, it's in your Mishnah Berurah, between the Radbaz and the Chacham Tzvi, regarding a person who is in jail and he's given one day to get out of jail. What should he do? Should he pick a day that's coming up right away? Should it be tomorrow? Or should he save it for a day when he can leave and daven with a minyan and get more mitzvos and will have a greater opportunity to fulfill davening with a greater, with that's more makudish, more holy? So what should he choose? So Radbaz writes in his Tshuvas that he should leave on the first day available and not postpone the opportunity. Why? You all know the expression, Ein Mavir in Ala Mitzvos. You have a mitzvah in front of you tomorrow, Tuesday morning, you can get out of jail and daven with a minyan and do what you have to do. So by all means, go and go take the first day available. The Chacham Tzvi, in his Shuvas, argues with the Radbaz. He quotes the Radbaz, and he says, we don't say Ein Mavir in Ala Mitzvos, that you don't pass over a mitzvah if there's something available that is more mekudesh, something that is more holy, like davening on Yom Kippur. Why should I daven today when I could daven in Yom Kippur and I could have more mitzvos and a holier davening that's available to me? And he says, the Gemara Menachos tells us in Daf Mem Tes that the Tzibur only has one animal. We only have one animal to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Should I use it for the Korban Musaf today or should I use it for the Korban Tamid tomorrow? What should I do? It's in the afternoon. It's towards the afternoon. I can bring the Korban Musaf today with the animal, or I can bring the Korban Tamid tomorrow. So the Gemara explains that the Tamid is Tadir. It's more common, and Tadir, V'sheino Tadir, Tadir come in the more common mitzvah comes first. But the Musaf, the Korban Musaf is more Mekudosh, it's a holier Korban. So the Gemara never says in that discussion, Ein Mavir in Ala Mitzvos, you have to bring the Korban Musaf now, because we can't worry about what's going to be tomorrow. We have to do what's going to be here right now. And therefore, the Musaf should go first. So we see, says the Chacham Tzvi, that the reasoning doesn't apply. The reasoning of the Radbaz doesn't apply. And we see that there's only Ein Mavir and Al Mitzos when the two mitzvos are of equal caliber. They're on the same level. But if they're not on the same level, and one is holier, one is better, then certainly you have to choose the more holy item, even if it means waiting and passing over a mitzvah that is right in front of you. And therefore, says the Ohel Moshe, we can plug it in now, according to the Radbaz, he would say, fast on Tzom Gedalia today, because that's the mitzvah right here, to fast on Tzom Gedalia. And now it seems to make sense, and according to the Chacham Tzvi, the person should be able to wait to Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is holier. So the Ohel Moshe says, the halacha is that a person should eat on Tzom Gedalia, so you can fast on Yom Kippur, because I think we could all figure this out. Tzom Gedalia is not as important, no offense to Tzom Gedalia, but it's not as important as Yom Kippur. The Ohel Moshe then goes on to say, this can happen another nafkamina, a different machlokas. He talks about machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal HaMa'or. In the days of Chazal, they would wash the baby with hot water after the Bris Milah. And if the Bris Milah was on Shabbos, and someone spilled the water, and there was no more water, so what should you do? You got to have hot water to wash the baby. For now, somebody went into the kitchen and spilt the water, and now there's no water available. What should we do in this case? So the Ramban says you should perform the Bris Milah on Shabbos, force the situation of Pikuach Nefesh. I did the Bris Milah, I have no choice. I have to wash the baby with hot water. If I don't, it'll be dangerous. And that's what you should do in this situation, because right now I have a chiyuv, I have a responsibility to do the Bris Milah. The Baal HaMa'or says no. He says that you shouldn't do the Bris Milah because Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos when there is Pikuach Nefesh. But I can't do something to put myself in a situation which will then make Pikuach Nefesh and then I'll have to push aside Shabbos. You can't do that, says the Baal HaMa'or. And the old Moshe says, the Ramban would say the same thing over here as well. The Ramban would say, you should fast on Tzom Gedalia because right now I have the mitzvah in front of me. Just like I have the meal in front of me on Shabbos, I have the mitzvah to fast right now on Tzom Gedalia. And the Baal HaMa'or would say, no, you should eat on Tzom Gedalia. Why? Because you can't force yourself to rely on Pikuach Nefesh on Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur is going to come around and say, I didn't eat on Tzom Gedalia. I'm so sick. Now I can't eat Yom Kippur. Who told you to do that? Who told you to force yourself to put yourself in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh? Now, the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva. He supports the Ol Moshe. The Tzitz Eliezer says that the tshuva's halachos ketanos talks about a doctor who told the chola, someone who is ill, that you got to drink non-kosher milk straight for 40 days if you want to live. It's not important to our discussion right now that it was non-kosher milk. We'll just talk about the milk. What's the question, the halachos ketanos, though? The 40 days are going to go over Tisha B'Av. So now, Tisha B'Av is going to come, and he has to drink. And if he doesn't drink the milk, the doctor says, then he's going to have to start the whole 40 days over again, and it's not going to work, and it's going to be miserable. He's going to have to drink more non-kosher milk. So the Halachos Ketanos explains that he should drink the milk on Tisha B'Av to make sure you don't have to drink more non-kosher milk later on. And that's the same idea here as well. Right now, take care of the situation that's in front of you, and don't worry about what's going to be in the future. The Steich Emet finds the whole comparison and the whole discussion very weak. So that's Ad Kan the Ol Moshe. The Steich Emet says, I think that's all wrong what he just said. He says, the Radvaz says that you should do the first mitzvah available because we don't know the schar of each mitzvah. That is the Yesod of the Radvaz. The Yesod of the Radvaz is that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Havizar b'mitzvah kala k'mitzvah chamura, she'ena tal yodea matzin schar and shal mitzvos. You don't know which mitzvah is better or worse. So the Radvaz is saying, get out of jail now, do the mitzvah now, because who knows what's going to be more and what's going to be more valuable in the eyes of Hashem later on. Clearly, though, clearly, says the Seich Emet, if I know that something is more valuable than another mitzvah, then that thing should go first as well. Something that is mekudesh, something that is holy, should beat out something else that is not as holy. The Radvaz is assuming that two things I don't know about their schar. But if we ask anybody, a kid on the street, right now, we got inside and said, what's holier, Yom Kippur or Tzom Gedalia? Everybody knows the Yom Kippur is holier than Tzom Gedalia. So certainly, says the Steich Emet, the argument and the logic does not make sense over here as well. Yom Kippur is min haTorah, Tzom Gedalia is midivrei Kabbalah at best, and therefore, according to this logic, a person should fast Yom Kippur, and he cites numerous svarim that make the same point, and he rejects the whole discussion. The Steich Emet then drives further. And he says that in the case of Tzom Gedalia, the chiyuv to fast, the responsibility today that we had to fast, is present right now. Right now, in Shemayim, it says everybody needs to fast right now. And the Chobas Hayom is present. Yom Kippur is not in our picture right now. It's true, we're planning for Yom Kippur, and we're thinking about Yom Kippur, and we're making schedules for Yom Kippur, but it's not Yom Kippur right now. It's not on our radar, our halachic radar. And even though it is usher to do something that would cause a person to rely on Pikuach Nefesh for Yom Kippur, that's only for a Dvar Rishus. Meaning tomorrow, you should not run a marathon and do an Ironman tomorrow if it's going to mean you're not going to be able to fast on Yom Kippur. That would be totally irresponsible because you're going to put yourself in a situation where you're going to need to rely on Pikuach Nefesh for Yom Kippur. But today is a mitzvah, says the Seich Emet. Right now, I have a mitzvah to fast on Tzom Gedalia. Why should I push aside the mitzvah that I have right now because of Yom Kippur, which is a total zero to me right now? It's not on my radar. Right now, I have a chiyuv. In Shemayim, they are shouting down at us and saying, it's Tzom Gedalia, you must keep Tzom Gedalia today. There's nothing about Yom Kippur. So why should I push that away because of Yom Kippur? That's one point he makes. He supports this with the Beis Yosef, who cites the Rivash. The Beis Yosef is in Reish from Ches in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, and it says that you can't go on a trip and you can't go out to the desert before Shabbos because you may have to be Mechal Shabbos. I decide I'm going to go on one of those wilderness excursions. I'm going to take, you know, a Swiss Army knife and a bottle of water and hope for the best, and I'm going to leave, you know, Friday morning. That, says the Rivash, is totally irresponsible because you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos in a dangerous place. The Rashbat says that if I need to go on my wilderness adventure, let's say I take my Swiss Army knife and I take my bottle of water and my Bris Milah knife, and then I go because I have to do Bris Milah. So the Rashbat says that's mutter to go to a dangerous place on Shabbos, even though it may lead to Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos because it's for a mitzvah. So therefore, says the Seichemed, according to the Beis Yosef, I can fast for this mitzvah on Tzom Gedalia, even though it will cause me to rely on Pikuach Nefesh later on. Why? Because I'm not running a marathon today. I'm fasting because it's Tzom Gedalia. That's a mitzvah. That's a good thing to do. It's not irresponsible, says the Seichemed. And it would be appropriate, perhaps, this is all in theory, he says, it would be appropriate to continue our fast today. There are machmirim, like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, says you can't even put yourself in danger even for a mitzvah. And the Seichemed concludes this whole discussion, and he cites that the above machmirim should allow fasting on Tzom Gedalia, since in the above case, the recommendation, in cases where you don't know what to do, is to be shevi al taaseh, to sit and do nothing. Now, and not perform whatever mitzvah you wanted to do. But in the case of fasting, there's no such thing as shevi al taaseh. You can't passively not fast. What do we call that? Eating. So there's no such thing as shevi al taaseh when it comes to a fast. And therefore, says the Seichemed, there is room to argue that one could potentially eat, not eat today, fast today on Tzom Gedalia, and then worry about Yom Kippur later on. So how do we pass the halacha l'maisa in this very famous piece from the Seichemed? What do we do at the end of the day? Well, now, we only have about 30 minutes of being relevant. But just in case, and it's going to make a difference for anybody's Yom Kippur, so let's discuss what the halacha says. The Ishla Avram, the Buchacha Rav, cites a lot of this discussion, and he says that a person should fast on Tzom Gedalia if it means they're not going to have Yom Kippur. This is also the opinion of the Ber Moshe, the Deborah Sina Rav, and Chelek Ches, Rav Nassim Gestetner, and the Halaris Nassim, and Chelek Ches as well, but they seem to be in the minority. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted by Rav Aaron Felder and the Rishume Aaron in Chelek Beis, that Rav Moshe felt that one should not fast on Tzom Gedalia, so you can fast on Yom Kippur. He writes from his journal, Im Yotzim B'Tzom Gedalia, if you were to fast on Tzom Gedalia, Lo Yuchal L'Tzom B'Yom Kippurim, Adav Shlo Yitzom B'Tzom Gedalia. Better to not fast today if it's going to take away from your ability to fast on Yom Kippur. This is the opinion as well of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, cited in the Kovetz Halacha Seyom Narayim. We'll get back to that sefer in a moment. And Rav Yisrael David Harfenis, who is the Satmar Daim in Williamsburg. So he cites in the sefer Mikdash Yisrael, he cites the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav has a beautiful insight. The Brisker Rav says, let's be honest over here. If you're in a situation where you can't choose whether to fast on Tzom Gedalia or Yom Kippur, you are sick. You're a chola. You can't fast anyway. If you're in that medical situation where the doctor's saying it's either or, you're a chola from top to bottom anyway. What's the difference to you? Of course you have to eat. And you have to eat on Tzom Gedalia, and you probably have to eat on Yom Kippur as well anyway. So the whole discussion is ridiculous. We know that in the Brisker Rav's family, they are very big machmir when it comes to issues of Pikuach Nefesh. They, according to many, many accounts, the family of Brisker Rav rarely fasted on anything that was not Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. A lot of people in the family didn't do it because that Rav Chaim's famous shita about Pikuach Nefesh. It also invokes the Brisker Rav's point, also invokes the joke they say about the woman who came to the Rebbe and said she's not pregnant and she's not nursing, so she wants to know what to do about fasting. I wanted the fast. So she said, you're not pregnant, you're not nursing, you must be a chola. So you don't have to fast. So at the end of the day, the Brisker Rav says, well, it doesn't matter. Someone who has such a shaila in halacha, the whole thing is ridiculous for them in the first place. And they don't have to eat, they don't have to fast at all, regardless of the situation. In the Sefer Kovetz Halachos, the Kovetz Halachos, which brings the Pesachim of Shmuel Kamenetsky, is fantastic because of the footnotes, which are done by Rav Daniel Usher Kleinman, who's a Rav in Brooklyn, and the footnotes in the Sefer are out of this world, and he brings very, 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 very nice things. So there, he brings his own Raya. to supporting this discussion from Yerushalmi and Tainus. And he says, the Yerushalmi and Tainus asks, why Shavuos Arba Tammuz is not a 24-hour fast like Tisha B'Av? Okay, there's what to discuss in Hashkafa and Halacha, why that's the case. But the Yerushalmi's question is, why Shavuos Arba Tammuz is not 24 hours, me'es la'es, just like Tisha B'Av is? So the answer, and this is the explanation of the Pnei Moshe there in the Yerushalmi, is that it's not healthy to fast two 24-hour fasts in a span of 40 days. That's the Gemara's rule. You shouldn't have two 24-hour fasts within 40 days. We see, says Rabbi Kleinman, that the Yerushalmi doesn't say to fast 24 hours on Shavuos Arba Tammuz and then not fast 24 hours on Tisha B'Av. That's not part of the Yerushalmi's discussion. It doesn't occur to them, well, let's choose one fast over the other. Rather, what do? We change. We alter fast number one to fulfill fast number two. Why? Because I think we all understand that Tisha B'Av is more important than Shavuos Arba Tammuz. So we see, says Rabbi Kleinman, we alter the first fast in order to protect and uphold the second fast. So the same thing over here. We alter Tzom Gedalia in order to protect and uphold the second fast. And the same reason should apply in this case. Another reason to be lenient is that Tzom Gedalia is not Midivrei Kabbalah, as we'll talk in a second, and it's not even maybe a Derabbanan. Let's explain why. The Navi Zechariah says that when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, they wanted to know whether they should still observe Avelus, mourning, on Tisha B'Av as they did for the 70 years before. It's a good question, right? For 70 years, we observed the ninth of Av because the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and now we have another Beis HaMikdash. What's with Tisha B'Av? Do we still have to observe it? So Zechariah sends a tshuva back to them. They asked him a shaila, and he sends a tshuva back to Bnei Yisrael explaining, and that is the rest of Perek Zayin and Perek Ches is this tshuva of Zechariah. And he says that there are times you are chayav, there are times when you can make it a yantif, and there are times when it's optional. And that's the end of the discussion. He doesn't say anything more. He says there are times when you have to fast, there are times when it's a yantif, and there's times when it's up to you. So why is he answering in such a confusing way? So Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rosh Hashanah Kodesh Rabbi Soloveitchik, saying that he answered them in a complicated way because Bnei Yisrael did something wrong. What was their mistake? They asked a shaila to a Navi. And he says, you don't ask shailas in halacha to Nevi'im. Halacha is not paskened by a Navi. It's paskened by the Chacham, paskened by the Gadol Hador. They turned to Nevuah in order to discern what to do in halacha. So Zechariah answered their question, but he was annoyed at them. So he phrased the tshuva in a way that was confusing. So what would they have to go do? They have to go ask the rabbi. So make sure they didn't lose the idea that in halacha, you turn to the chacham, not to the navi, in deciding what to do. Fine, so this is the answer he gave. So how do we understand his answer? So the Gemara explains. When there's a third Beis HaMikdash, all the fasts are going to become yantif. B'mher v'yameinu amein. All those fasts are going to be yantif. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's persecution against the Jewish people, and it's a Shas Shman, and the Jewish people are in trouble, then you have to fast Midibri Kabbalah based on the power of Navi, based on the power of Nevuah. It's a mitzvah derabanan, which is recorded in the words of the Nevi'im. Why is it called Dibri Kabbalah? So Rashi says, Nevuah was Mekabel by Moshe Rabbeinu. Shita Megubetzet says, Dibri Kabbalah comes to the language of complaining. The Nevi'im would complain against the Jewish people. Rabbeinu Tam says that Dibri Kabbalah is a higher level. There's Doraisas, there's Derabanans, there's Minag, and in between Doraisa Derabanan, there's the words of the Navi, which we call Divrei Kabbalah. So that's the second level. But that's neither of our situations, right? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash right now, and we're not being persecuted. So where does that leave us? That's the third option, says Zechariah Navi. He says, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and we live in relative peace, then the words of the Navi apply as a Minag. Tosfos cites the Bahagu says that we accepted as a chova to fast Midrabanan with the exception of Tisha B'Av. The point being, though, all other fast days besides Tisha B'Av is only a minhag to fast. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to keep those fasts if the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt this year. But to understand that it's coming as the Torah of a minhag, not even a derabanan. The Taz says that this minhag already exists in the days of Yehuda HaNasi, but nonetheless, it's a minhag, not even a derabanan. And that's the answer of Zechariah Navi. So the Ramban in the Milchamo says that when the obligation to fast is midivrei Kabbalah, when we have to fast because of the Nevi'im, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there is religious persecution, then the fast days are 24 hours. Okay? That would mean, according to some poskim, during the days of the Holocaust in World War II, fasting on the other fast days besides Tisha B'Av was 24 hours. Some poskim felt and wrote that that was a shashmad, and that there was a mitzvah to fast 24 hours during that period because there was no Beis HaMikdash and the Jews were being persecuted. And you have to keep chamesh inuyim, shoes, tashu shamita, all the different types of things that have to be kept at that time. Rabbeinu Tam says that when there's a chiyuv to fast midivrei Kabbalah, you can only eat with the same heter as Yom Kippur as well. Right, today, on Tzon Gedalia, we tell you, somebody doesn't feel good, you have to go lie down, so you eat, and you break your fast. But you'd have to be more strict in such a situation where there's persecution against the Jewish people. Based on the above, the Ramban says that in reality, that's why all fasts really begin from the nightfall. We don't eat until the next morning. But all fasts really begin from the nightfall, and we're only mekabel to fast during the day. That's why, if you go to sleep, and you don't say expressly that I want to eat in the morning, it doesn't work to eat the next day. Because once you go to sleep, the fast technically begins. Only if you expressly say, I want to eat when I get up in the morning, and you make such a tznai, can you eat in the morning. But if this morning, what time did the fast start this morning? Nobody got up early, I guess. So, 5-something, whatever, the fast started. So, if you fell asleep last night, and you got up at 4 o'clock by accident, and now you said, oh, well, I'm up, let me have a bowl of cereal. No, it wouldn't work. Because technically, the fast started before. We just have a minhag to not start until we wake up in the morning. What's the point of all of this? So, based on all of this, one can argue, and Rav Shechter has said the same thing, that it is impossible to say that the very strong minhag, again, at best, Tzom Gedalia is a very strong minhag, is going to override a mitzvah d'oraisa of not eating on Yom Kippur? That's how could you say such a thing? It's hard to swallow such a, no pun intended, it's hard to deal with such a concept that it's going to override the mitzvah d'oraisa of Yom Kippur. In addition, the Prima Gadim writes in the Psicha Kolelas that the Radbaz agrees that if the mitzvah is in front of us now is midarabanan, it should be pushed aside to fulfill d'oraisa. And therefore, we come at halach l'maisa, that, according to almost all poskim, one would eat today on Tzom Gedalia, if would mean having to be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Okay, we'll just end with one other comment, since we just have a few more minutes. What we see, most importantly, at the end of the day, just in Machshava, is that Yom Kippur is very holy. And to understand, as we prepare for such a holy day, that we need to have hachanos, we cannot simply waltz into Yom Kippur, we can't simply walk in and think that the day is going to do its job. It's a holy day that requires preparation and cheshbon hanefesh and going through the machzor and preparing ourselves to make sure that all these things we just spoke about, the kedusha and the tara, how much greater is than Tzom Gedalia and all these things, we really attach it to it and we connect to it and really take advantage of the kedusha of Yom Kippur. Okay, we'll stop here.